Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
All right, we are going to talk about, along with our journey through boundaries, we're going to talk about the idea that boundaries require priorities, which is an interesting concept, because when we think about boundaries, I think we often like to make our house kind of like a home edit moment of everything has its place and everything has a boundary and our lives are just all compartmentalized in the best of ways. And Taylor knows from experience with me that I like to have the office organized. And
you're very good at it.
I'm very good at it. It looks good. My role with that is to always have a place for everything so we don't ever have a junk drawer or things like that. But boundaries are a little iffy, right? We're dealing with emotions. We're not dealing with physical objects that have a certain place for everything. We have emotions which have wide gambits of different shades of different things going on and different experiences with different people. So they're not always going to be nicely packaged into different boundary areas. We talk about that cell wall. Not everyone is going to have a boundary that's going to work perfectly for the scenario. So we have to make priorities in those moments of what has the greater value for me in this moment.
Well, and I think along with that, right, is this understanding that we've talked about of you, I think we've talked about this, that you
we've
only
talked
have
about so much of this.
I know. Well, let me reinforce this one. You only have control over you. And yet you work in a world where you interact with other people whose values, priorities, and boundaries might be different than you. And so as you're trying to have your organizational and your organized life, mm-hmm. your boundaries cannot control other people. They can only control your interactions with other people. And so things come up, right? You might have your whole day scheduled and then you walk out of the room and there's, you know, little people or big people at work or those kinds of things. And so then it comes down to how
She's meaning children, by the way.
Yeah, just so that we're our friend for a second.
Oh, sorry.
World.
No, just no children. Yes, I was talking about children. And suddenly we experience this push against our boundaries of, oh, that's what you thought you were going to do. And that's what you thought was important to you. But now you're running into other people and situations and organizations that have their own value system. And so we get to start to experience how to hold those boundaries.
And also within our romantic relationships, like you're saying, you got two people who have two different boundaries. So when we talk about shared values as a couple or shared boundaries as a couple, sometimes we're going to have to look at prioritizing. It doesn't mean your own personal boundaries are out of line or that you can never use them, but it's about recognizing when two worlds come together, often there's a bit of a prioritizing that needs to happen for the relationship. Again, not for you personally, you need to change all your boundaries for this person. By no means should you ever really change your boundaries for other people, but you might need to prioritize which boundaries are, you know, more pressing or more needed in the moment, depending on the interaction between you and your partner.
And I'll add to that too, that's in a healthy relationship, you'll prioritize together. In an unhealthy relationship, you will have to pick either to stay in the unhealthy relationship through the values of the unhealthy relationship or to move into healthy. And that might mean moving out of those.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Shared values.
With a healthy relationship, you can prioritize. With an unhealthy relationship, at times, the partner will not allow you to prioritize with them. They're going to dictate. So that's a good point of prioritizing actually is a very good sign of a healthy relationship. Not being completely aligned on your values is actually an okay thing because you're two different people. So prioritizing is an actual really healthy thing to do with your partner. When that's not an option, that's when we see a negative and unhealthy relationship and potentially emotionally, physically, whatever dangerous situation for you, right?
Something that we often see is that one person won't be holding a boundary, even if they value something or they'll be prioritizing something, and then they won't be prioritized in return, and they'll expect the other person or their romantic partner to not hold a boundary in return, and they'll be really upset and say, well, I didn't hold that boundary, so you can't hold that boundary. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how boundaries or priorities work. Different people will have different priorities, and we'll see people that are rescuers, like from our drama triangle episodes, light themselves on fire to keep other people warm, and then be really upset when people don't do that in return.
And I think it's hard when you've lived your life. I've seen people come in and they've had decades of that experience of, hey, I was rescuing everybody for decades, and now nobody's meeting my needs, and I resent the hell out of everyone. And they start to say, well, then everyone needs out, or I need out of the relationship with everyone, versus saying, hold on, let's figure out, how do you start to create boundaries? And there's nothing wrong with adding distance when you're creating boundaries. We talked about rupture and repair. Distance is an important part of the repair process, and it can be an important part of creating healthy boundaries when you have been in an unhealthy situation. But it's not an all or nothing. We can't, with boundaries, start from scratch and just check ourselves out of our last life and just start new. And I think a lot of people, if they don't do that boundary work, they think the problem is with everyone else. That's the drama triangle, right? Versus saying, how do I start working on my boundary so I can be healthier in my life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something that we've seen, especially in the United States, grow over the last 40 years is a concept of rugged individualism, that I don't need anyone, that I don't owe anything to anyone. And that's not really healthy boundaries or really healthy priorities. It's a value, but mm-hmm. it's not going to be helpful, because anytime someone asks something or your boundaries don't align, they're going to just say, well, I don't owe you anything. And that would lead to a very lonely world. And in order for society to function, we have to help each other out. And so boundaries aren't about, I don't do anything for you and you don't do anything for me. It's these, each system is going to have to come together and decide, what shared values do we have, and what roles, rules, and routines are we going to have together? So I'm going to have my own individual values and my own individual priorities. My wife and I are going to have shared values and priorities, and we're going to come up with roles, rules, and routines that we agree on. And there are going to be some things, just because we're two different people, that, you know, those values, like we talked about in the last episode, will be different based on duration, intensity, and frequency. So one example of that with my wife and I are that we have different values around media. I like more inappropriate movies and TV shows than my wife is comfortable with. For example, I like Rick and Morty, and my wife is very not okay with the humor in Rick and Morty. So she's like, yep, you go and watch that when we're not together, great. And if there's anything that's clean enough for me to watch, go ahead and show me clips. And that's how we navigate that. And then there will be things, our children aren't old enough that we let them dictate anything, but we'll take their ideas or what they're starting to value as they're starting to get older and develop personalities. And we'll take that into account as we develop, you know, roles, rules, and routines for the family. And then we have extended family, and, you know, we have work and things like that. And there will be shared values based on that. And sometimes at work, you might have a different philosophy, you might have different values that will be different duration, intensity, and frequency, and that can create conflict at work or conflict in your church community. So these are just different ideas of the circles of boundaries that will be drawn around you, or that you will draw around you.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting, I love that you brought up this idea with children, that the boundaries around children change as they develop, right? The goal is to create independent individuals. That's my personal value. Maybe I should just say that's what I believe about parenting, and that's how I help other people and how I do that. And so the roles, routines, and rules, when there's an infant, right, is about keeping them alive, and we're doing a lot of things for them and we're sacrificing a lot. As they get older and they can start to do more things for themselves, those roles, routines, and rules will change, and eventually I will pull away from the caretaking and allow them to experience what they need to experience so they can gain the skills so they can become independent. And so that changes slowly before the age of 12, and then it starts to speed up quite a bit for those next, like, I would say 6 to 10 years, where we're saying, oh, we have to change our roles, rules, and routines every, gosh, 3 to 6 months with these children so that we can start to give them the learning and growing experiences. So it's interesting as you bring up children that the what you're doing right now with your children, if you did the same thing in 6 years, would not be healthy.
No.
Yeah. I think along with what, so with you're saying, I guess one of the questions that could happen then is, how do you make healthy priorities? How do you ensure that the priorities that you have are healthy and are not you maybe pulling back for the sake of others, right? Or are not you, you know, not over, but trying to impose your priorities on someone else? And how do you guys, I think for the two of you, kind of like talking about it, how do you and whomever you're working with, community person, whatever, how do you find a good mix of a priority? Like, how do you start with that?
Every relationship needs to balance two things. I know we're talking about priorities. I said balance doesn't exist. So this is going to be a negotiation between togetherness and separateness. And different cultures will have different ideas of this. Some cultures will be more on the togetherness side than on the separateness side. In white American culture, we're much more on the separateness side. The further east you go, not in America, the further east you go in the world, the more they'll be on the communal side, the more on the togetherness side. And so every relationship is going to have to decide how much togetherness and separateness they're going to have, both as a couple, as a family. And that's just something you're going to have to decide. How much autonomy do I have and how much am I a part of the community? And so there's no one right answer. So you're going to have to kind of just determine a few things. How helpful is this for me and others? How unhelpful or how harmful, in other words, is this for me and others? And then is there the presence of justice and peace?
I'm trying to imagine the math equation that would look like on the board, Taylor. Like, how would they figure that out? And I think that idea of priorities isn't about that balance. There, you're not going to be able to get to, you know, a clean number. What it's going to be is we have to constantly be in awareness and discussion around those things. And I think it can be a really important checkpoint to say what other people are doing. Sometimes we judge because they have different priorities, and we start to say, well, everybody needs to live by my boundaries and my priorities and my experiences. And one of the things that I value is that people get to make their own choices versus, you know, I need to control them or they need to show up in a certain way for me to feel safe. I feel like that is something that we can start to say, well, especially when we have trauma, we can start to say there's only one right way to do this. And if we don't do it the way I want, if the boundary isn't where I want, I might feel uncomfortable. I might feel some pain. I might feel some emotion creep up. And so we have to have boundaries so I never feel anything. I would say that is an unhealthy boundary. It's not. It's definitely not semi-permeable. I'm saying that's weird. Semi-permeable. It becomes a rigid boundary in which we actually won't be able to prioritize relationships because all we're doing is we're reacting from our trauma. So I think it's important to recognize how trauma can play a role in moving priorities and even starting to create boundaries and requests for negotiation that don't make sense with the larger term goals of the relationship. When we have trauma, we do things, and it's not necessarily unhealthy. Sometimes it really is about, I'm trying to survive, and so I'm doing things that maybe aren't working for me, but used to work for me. And so I guess I want to give room to people to say, hey, if that used to work for you, if you needed that boundary to escape a super unsafe situation or survive a super unsafe situation, I don't want to judge you on that, but I want you to consider that isn't the way you're going to live the rest of your life.
My favorite phrase to describe that I was ever taught is, that was once really adaptive and now it's maladaptive.
Right. That's a cool word. I use the word what word? Recapitulate, just so you know, more since our last session, Taylor.
So I think one of the big things too is just being able to be aware of what's going on with others while you are trying to make those amendments kind of as your group values and group boundaries. That's when empathy can definitely come to play along with withholding your values and boundaries, right? We don't need to give up one for the other. Often we think with empathy, I need to give up my values and boundaries, but you can stay securely within your area while you're trying to find a medium ground with someone and still have empathy of what they're going through. And if that's hard to do, that's when you sometimes add a third party and have someone kind of be there to be the listening ear, the non, you know, what is it? And She's the Man. It's totally non. What was it?
That's such a great movie.
Hold on.
Something like totally non invested party on either end or something like that. It's sometimes you need someone, and that's when you
put that on your business card.
I know, right? That's when, yeah. So it's one of those things where you can stand in there, but often when we're talking about finding this middle ground and creating a common group value boundary scenario, you sometimes do need a third party, and that's completely fine. I mean, businesses do that all the time. When you've got two business interests that are coming together, they look for someone who can be in the middle, who can be the person who's a listening ear for both sides and seeing it from a third party. So it just,
they have a mediator, an arbitrator.
Yeah. All those different things. And so it's one of those things that, you know, people make their careers out of that for business side. They make it for divorce. They make it for other legal services. Like it's a gift people can do. And in that scenario, use it if you need to.
Well, and I think it's a big part of couples work, especially as you're trying to repair, right? If we go back into if there's been ruptures in the relationship and you're trying to move into repair, you might have to shift some priorities and values for either a short period of time or, you know, what we talked about in post-traumatic growth of a significant shift to move forward in a healthier way for both parties. And so that shift can be difficult. And if you're finding that you're having the discussions around values and priorities and things aren't shifting, asking for help is a really important way to move forward.
I think if priorities shift for a short amount of time, then that's probably a greater reflection of what your priorities really are in general. Priorities are a reflection of our values. So for example, if you're missing work, or if you're going to work and consistently missing really important family events, like you're working on the day of your wedding, or you're working on the day of your child's graduation, that's probably a really good indication that work is your priority and a higher value than your family or your children.
Yeah.
Sometimes as people have gone through trauma or they're healing from trauma, they'll shift their priorities and they'll realize that they've been prioritizing everyone else. They've been lighting themselves on fire to warm other people, like I said earlier, and they'll start to prioritize themselves. And then those couple roles and routines are now at odds because you were the one that was supposed to be doing these things for me, and now you're not because you're prioritizing yourself. Mm-hmm. And then couples will then have to see whether they can come together on any shared values or priorities. And sometimes they don't and they won't because someone will come to realize that someone has been abusive, they've been violent, or they've been unfaithful. And someone will finally have a boundary around protecting themselves. And that will be non-negotiable. Does that kind of make sense?
It does. I think I love that we talked about that because it's important to see the difference between giving up everything for everyone else and then being able to set that boundary. And then I will say additionally, what happens is sometimes that short-term shift in boundaries of separationness or separateness, separationness is a weird word, of separateness to check back in and say, what is my personal value? And then I can move back into the relationship and start to say, hey, can we have a relationship built on a different value or a different priority that would serve me, is a really healthy way to heal. In fact, one of the things that I've seen is a lot of couples really resist the idea of separation when there's been a trauma experience. They say, oh no, we can't separate. If we separate, we're done.
And I think that's the most common phrase that I hear is that if we separate, we're done, or if we separate, we might as well just get divorced. I think those are the two most common things people say.
Mm-hmm. Right. And what I would say is that separation does a couple things. Is it gives you room to reset your own limbic system versus trying to constantly manage two traumatized limbic systems. And it also gives you kind of that bird's eye view of what do I think and feel really? And then I can come back together and I can do a healthy negotiation to say, no, this is my reinvested experience and I'd like to move forward. And I've seen that be really healthy for people. And so sometimes we resist separation, we resist breaks. And I'm not talking about the kind where you cheat on each other. That's from Friends and that's not real. But I am talking about just taking a time to say, this is who I am and this is who you are and how do we really feel? Because that is part of calming that fight, freeze system. If you've been in it consistently, you need to take a break. You need to separate for a short period of time or even a significant period of time to give a reevaluation. And that can be a gift to relationship.
So a really important part of shifting roles and routines that have been really unhelpful or even unhealthy or are now maladaptive.
Exactly. And I would say if we even gave ourselves a little more normalized breaks and shifts a little more, then we might find that we were able to heal things that we thought were not capable of healing.
Marriages usually become, what's the word I'm looking for? People become unsatisfied in marriage or long-term relationships when roles and routines become stuck, roles in particular. That I'm always the one taking care of all the kids. I'm the one always taking care of the finances, that we're not doing things together. We're not on the same page, that, you know, we're not sharing the same priorities. We're not sharing the same values. We're not on the same team. And people are wanting to, you know, paddle the same canoe on the same river. That's the kind of relationship they want. But really the way they're operating is two separate canoes on the same river. And that kind of approach in a relationship leads to dissatisfaction in a relationship. And so having a separation where you can get a break, get out of those stuck roles and routines, kind of work on yourself a little bit so you can heal whatever past trauma or get in touch with your own values and identity again, and then come together and get new roles and routines is a really great way to improve a relationship.
And I will say that this can happen, you know, it can be significant when it needs to be, but it can be like taking a weekend to yourself and checking in with, okay, who am I and how do I feel with my relationship with self, so I could re-enter and then have a conversation about how am I feeling in the relationship. So it could be a short-term one. It could be done in many ways. And so I think it can be done as a couple taking a break together from the family and from parenting and being able to say, oh, hi, I remember you. And how do we feel? Versus just as the leaders of this, you know, group of small people. I didn't say little people that time. Small people or children.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. If you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.